time, folks!
So this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, it always seems to be for someone else. Why do people always seem to just be on vacation? What do I get from it?
And a happy Thursday to all of y'all out there. It's another edition of Overtime, clocking in live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tanner Carson and Tucker Holt are with you here today on this gorgeous day out here in East Tennessee. The month of May is flying by. This week is flying by. It's Friday Junior, so to say. I'm not going to trademark that or anything. I've just seen people say it Thursday's Friday Junior before. Thursday's a day I always like. It's almost always the anticipation type of day, right? It's like, oh yeah, you get one more of these days done, and then all of a sudden, boom, another weekend is upon us. And not just any weekend, Memorial Day weekend will be upon us too. To go ahead and give people just a quick heads up, we will not be on the air Monday or Tuesday. So use this time, what we're going to do, to just chill at home, spend time with our loved ones and friends. Responsibly, of course. If you want to hang out with a few friends, do that responsibly. You know, what's responsible? No more than like 10 people in a group.
Something like that, yeah.
Try to stay distance if you must, but I know a lot of people haven't been, you know, doing that anyway if you're like in a small group.
No.
But right, it's one thing to not be spread out if you're like in a group of six versus like a group of 50.
Yeah, there's, I would think so. Yeah, there's definitely a range there.
I think so, too. But anyway, we are with you until 8 o'clock, taking you through the end of your Thursday. Tucker, what is up, my friend?
Having a good day. It's a nice day out there today.
Get anything done today? Did you actually enjoy it, or did you just...
I had a productive day.
Did you look at the outdoors from inside the comfort of your home while you played Call of Duty?
No, it was a productive day. I was out and about all day since,
nice.
Like,
okay.
You know, noonish today. I still slept in because I can. It's my right as an American. If I'm able to, I will.
You're damn right. You're damn right. Cannot disagree with that whatsoever here. Well, man, we're kicking things off with some great news to recap from last night. It was the debut. It was game numero uno for one. Coach Gus Dugerton, a.k.a. Big Cat from Barstool, he kicked off his career at the University of Tennessee last night in the 2017 season on NCAA 14. And Coach Duggs, it took him three tries, but he got that revenge against the UCLA Bruins. Unranked Tennessee takes down number 16 UCLA, and they get the Bruins had a 50-burger hung upon that left coast ass. 55-28, the Vols over the Bruins in Knoxville. And all orange, by the way. Something about them orange britches.
Yeah, I was really glad.
Something about them orange britches. Woo, just a beatdown. What a way to make your debut, Tucker. Fantastic job by Coach Ducks.
Oh, it was beautiful. He had a little bit of everything going. You know, Caleb Presley, number 16,
quarterback
for Caleb the
Vols. Presley. You know, a quarterback is special when you unretire Peyton Manning's number 16 jersey and put it on one. Caleb Presley, who grew up a Tennessee fan, became a North Carolina fan, did not get offered, I do believe, by Coach Mack Brown in the Tar Heels, and then became a Tennessee quarterback.
I mean, I've got the stat line here. He absolutely killed it. He was 33 for 42.
Woo!
487 passing yards.
Woo!
Four TDs. Did throw two picks, but that's all right. We got
that's
the
fine.
Win.
That's fine. When you're airing it out like that, mistakes are bound to happen. But you know what really matters? The end result. I'll take the four touchdowns. I'll take the two interceptions if he throws four touchdowns.
That's right.
And almost 500 yards in his debut.
And he rushed for 53. Average of 4.8 yards per carry.
Is it too early to say Presley for Heisman?
Had three rushing TDs.
Tucker, Presley for Heisman.
Oh, it's written in the stars.
It's already on. You know how in every college football season, you'll see that one quarterback or running back in some cases had that fantastic week one game, and all of a sudden people are calling for that player to win the Heisman. But more often than not, it may not come to fruition. We've had that happen before with Leonard Fournette. I thought Leonard Fournette was going to run away with the Heisman. Then the rest of the season played out.
Yeah.
There's other examples of that too. But sometimes you see a player in the week one, and by week two or three, you just know this guy's going to win the Heisman. One example, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a, kind of taking college football world by storm. I think that's what quarterback Caleb Presley did against the Bears last night.
Yeah, he put his name on the map.
But, I mean, it's not just that, man. Look at all the speed at the wide receiver position. Let me run through it for you. Dwayne Rodgers Cole overcame some early clipping penalties. Pretty undisciplined.
Very. He had two in the same drive.
Same
drive. It was
awful. Yeah. You usually get your ass benched for the rest of the game for that.
Yeah, but Doug's trusts his players.
Talent, you can't keep talent like that off the field. Wide receiver Deion Flash, whose name is very appropriate.
All time. He's great.
And then Vincent Montesanti. Oh, yeah. Love it.
I believe his name is going to be Vinny tonight in the game.
That's fine.
I heard that there was a change. I think he's going to legally change his name before the game tonight.
Hey, if he keeps putting up great receiving stats, I can call him Poo-Poo Magoo for all I care.
I mean, we've got Pua.
We do have Pua. Pua Stubbs tied in.
Absolutely.
The versatile tight end weapon. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your two running backs. Your starting running back, Rico Bergerton, who scores a touchdown late in the game to pretty much put it away by just running a man over.
Killed him.
Running a man over from UCLA, like right there at the goal line. Said, get off of me. Get off of me. I think Rico Bergerton might change his jersey number to 50. Before it's all said and done, for the 50 burger. And then, of course, you cannot forget JoJo Smalls. Absolute threat in the receiving game. We haven't seen a Tennessee offense like this in quite some time.
It's electric.
This is like Derek Dooley's ultimate fantasy on offense.
Oh, yeah.
Just didn't have the defense to hold off the horses on the other side. But defense came up big. You gave up 28 points, but, I mean, some of that was in garbage time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, that defense made crucial stops when it needed to.
Had that first pick in the end zone on that first drive.
Set the tone.
Yeah, absolutely. Got the crowd rocking.
Absolutely set the tone. I mean, you open things up 28-7, and it was pretty much in the back room there.
Oh, for sure.
Fourth quarter came. I put the fours up, as everyone should.
Everyone should have, yes.
Fours up, and by God, it took a while. We're kind of nervous there at the end, but we got the 50 burger. We got that 50 burger at the end.
We have a name for the offense, by the way.
Oh, I did see in the break kayfabe again, I did see the Tennessee football account tweet about it.
Gus's good time offense?
Has this just been perfect, just sitting, waiting here all along, the marriage of Coach Gus Dugerton, famous for the 50 burger, with Gus's Good Times Deli? Famous for their gigantic burgers.
It's a match made in heaven.
I really need, and I've already seen Gus's tweet about this. They're in on it, too. I actually need them maybe to make the 50 burger. If this first season goes successful, make the 50 burger, Gus's.
It would be awesome.
I haven't had Gus's in a few years.
I haven't either.
You know, it's and nothing against Gus's. Gus's is fantastic.
It's amazing.
There's a reason it's a Knoxville, Tennessee campus institution. There's a reason that back when the pandemic started really hitting some local businesses hard, there's a reason there was a big drive to give Gus's your business, whether it was by ordering takeout, buying T-shirts, gift cards, whatever. There's a reason that happened. It's an institution. But me personally, kind of upset my stomach bad last time I had it. I just haven't been back.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gus's. It's me, not you. It's a me thing, but by God, they make a 50 burger, I'm going.
I'll be there.
I will pick up a 50 burger and take it home and eat it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
At 100%.
It's just, we discussed this yesterday, you, me, and AJ did, Tucker. It's the most perfect fan base for Big Cat to take this show to, is Tennessee.
Absolutely.
Because we're the ones that are going to treat this like it's an actual thing.
Yes. As much hate as some people can talk on Tennessee fans, we're top one most passionate in
anything.
Sometimes
to a fault.
To a fault, yeah, sure.
Sometimes, but not to a fault in this case.
No.
When there's literally almost nothing going on in the sports world outside of German soccer, UFC, and NASCAR, by God, we're going to go all in on this.
Absolutely.
We're absolutely going all in. FanRunRadio.com, guys, is going all in on this, by the way, too. Had a recap after the game ended last night. Of course, we already have in-depth breakdowns of Coach Duggs. I will be on duty tonight running the post-game recap for the Baylor game because Baylor is week two. We're taking this air show on the road. We're taking the Gus's good time offense on the road down to Waco, trying to beat Baylor. Did you know Tucker Tennessee football has never beaten Baylor?
Well, that changes
tonight. We are 0-1. But, oh, hey, we have not forgotten about the 1957 Sugar Bowl Bears. We have not forgotten about it. That will be avenged tonight. You bet your sweet ass. And then after Coach Duggs hangs another 50-burger on you at your stadium, he's going to stop by Whataburger in Texas, get some for the road. We're going to come to your house. We're going to leave the front door open. We're going to just grind our dirty shoes all around your carpet. Go into your kitchen. Open the fridge. Make a sandwich. Leave the fridge door open. Throw the cheese wrapper on the floor. And walk out. Not even put the dishes away. That's what we're about to do tonight. Oh, I'm hyped up.
I'm ready.
You best believe I'm
9:30. Be there.
Have you bought the shirt yet?
I haven't bought the shirt yet.
Are you going to buy it?
I really want to. It's a good-looking shirt.
I said this yesterday. I'll say it again. I don't want to do it. I believe in a shirt curse. There's been novelty shirts come out regarding Tennessee football over the years. And anytime I've jumped on it and bought one because I thought I can't miss, things ended up going really badly on the field. I have a few in my closet.
Yeah.
I can run through some of them. I bought a big John Janders for defensive coordinator John Jancic.
Yeah.
Wore it to 2015 Oklahoma. Yeah, that happened. I bought, before the 2017 Georgia game, I bought one of those screen-printed shirts. It was nothing but Juwan's Hail Mary, like up close.
Yeah.
Wore that to a Georgia game. We got shut out for the first time in 23 years.
Ooh.
Almost feel like there's another one I have that I'm forgetting. I tell you what, one I bought, they ended up working, though. It was John Reed before right when he joined the station or right before he did. Maybe.
I have the same shirt. I wore it to the same game. I know which one you're talking
about. The
Florida
game. Yep. Florida, you can go to hell.
It's the only shirt that I've ever had that worked.
Maybe it worked because I didn't wear that one to the game. I was in an orange.
Oh, you didn't?
I was in an orange section for Checker Nealon.
Ah.
I still went along with it, wore an orange shirt.
I was in white, and I got to wear that shirt, and I've not worn it since.
I haven't worn it since either because I've gotten fat. But other than that, it's like, well, we haven't beat Florida since then, so maybe it was good for one game.
I don't even think I washed it.
I wouldn't have either.
I didn't. I went home and just hung it up. It's
should
it's
have
still,
had it framed.
Should have. That was a good day.
I've got my Florida stuff framed from that day. I have the Knoxville News Sentinel front page with my ticket.
I've never been so low and so high within like 2 hours.
I've never been so almost dehydrated.
It was so hot.
Did we run out of bottled water?
I don't know.
In the concession stands had to switch to tap water? I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
I just remember halftime, it was like 95 degrees. It was
bad.
Like 80% humidity. It was awful.
And
that
we're
day.
Sitting there getting our ass kicked.
We're down
again.
21-3, and I'm in the concourse up against a concrete wall in the shade, just looking like a broken man. And someone I don't even know walks up and says, "Hey, man, you okay?" And I said,
"No.
Not really, but I mean, physically, yeah, I'm fine." And he's like, "Okay, yeah, we're all there too." And then I'm getting text messages from my buddy like, "Yeah, don't you wish you didn't go, blah, blah, blah." Mm. And then I just go out and I just soldiered through and I went to my seat and the rest is history. That was a good day.
Yeah, I think me, you, and several others were of the same mindset when that second half started. Okay, if it turns into 28-3, heading out of here. I was going to give us one more chance.
I wasn't going to leave.
And didn't that second half start with us throwing a pick? Dobbs threw a pick?
Yeah. Yes.
I almost left then, but me and my friend said, no, we've been too hyped up for this. Let's give him one more chance.
That was the first Florida game I'd ever been to.
That was the second for me.
That was the first. That was the first big. That was the first year that my family had gotten season tickets.
Nice.
And so that was the first year that I got to go to an SEC game.
Really?
And yeah, Florida was the first like big game. App State shouldn't have been a big game. That
no,
one gave me a heart
have.
Attack. But
I drunkenly walked out that one at halftime. I was, so I was mad. I immediately I sprinted.
Yeah, I've never seen a crowd so mad after a win. I mean, just
hindsight, I should have been mad. I shouldn't have been mad enough to leave at halftime because we did end up winning. I was in a different mindset. I was in a bad mindset that night. I made sure never to get like to that level again.
Yeah.
Like when I walk into the stadium, it was a rookie move. I was freshly illegally 21. You know, it's
everybody
just,
has made that rookie mistake.
It was a rookie
though.
Move. It was a rookie move, but I had some weird experiences going to games in 2016. I went to a lot because that was my second to last year as a student.
Yeah.
Going to games. So went to App State, walked out halftime. I did not go to Bristol.
I didn't go to Bristol.
I wish I would have. Remember that Ohio game and how that was like kind of almost close at the end?
Yes, I was there for that one as well.
I was there too, and I had a bad sunburn like on half of my face. I looked like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, it was so hot that by the fourth quarter, I was so, you know, I don't know the word. I just didn't care. Like, I was so frustrated that, wow, we're letting this team hang close too.
We did.
That I was just walking around the concourse and just peeking in because it was 15 degrees cooler in the concourse. Like, I was just so angry and frustrated, and my girlfriend at the time was not into it because it was 150 degrees.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have been either.
I was so thrilled to go home and just be like, well, at least we didn't lose.
That's true. Then, we've already discussed Florida. I went to Alabama, but not as a student. I actually covered that one for the student radio station.
Nice.
Went up in the press box, got to rub shoulders with Fern Lundquist.
That's crazy. Yeah, you told me that story.
Eli Gold. You know, some other like big Knoxville media figures got to have a free catered meal from Calhoun's.
Wow,
it's fantastic. I got to look down a little bit and see Peyton Manning. I didn't get close to him though.
Yeah,
but and then I got to cover a not competitive game.
See
freshman Jalen Hurts just completely destroy us.
Was there for that one. Yeah, that one was.
Did you stick around to the end when Bo Scarborough scored that touchdown, put his big palm in that dude's face?
Yep, saw
that's
that.
That's one of the most random things I've ever seen. Why did he do that?
Because he's a jerk.
But he didn't. What's the point of just putting a palm in up to someone's face? It was one of the weirdest taunting things I've ever seen.
I don't know. I was very sad after that one. And there was a group. I remember there was a couple. I was the only two Alabama fans in the entire section. And they were two people away from me.
Mm.
And they were loud and very drunk.
Should have fought them.
But what do you say?
You should have fought them.
What do you say?
I don't know. You knock them out. You beat them up. You assault them. I don't know. Who cares?
I was like 17, man. I don't.
See, you wouldn't have been in that much trouble. You were 17. You were innocent. They were on our home turf. You could have said they started it. And I bet you Tennessee fans around you would have had your back.
You're probably right.
I'm glad you actually didn't punch a stranger, even though you know we all want to.
I get tossed down the stadium because I was very little when I was 17.
They literally pick you up and throw you.
And
like,
I just float.
A breeze catches you.
Yeah, I float down the stadium like a piece of paper. That's what would have happened.
Yeah, strange season. Strange season. Went to Kentucky and then Missouri. Just to wrap up my little story about the games I went to that year, I froze to death almost at Missouri. That was a very bittersweet day because it was great that that senior class got to go out the way they did with a win, put up 63 points. But also earlier in that game, you found out Florida beat LSU and won the East.
Yep.
Yeah, that wasn't fun in the student section because we were all trying to like watch the end of that. If, like whoever was able to get service for either like streaming the game.
Yeah.
Like by some miracle or just keeping up with ESPN updates when it went final. Like I was one of the first people to tell people like immediately around me that Florida stopped him at the goal line. And it was just the whole air was taken out.
Yeah.
Like while the game was going on. It was very depressing.
Yeah.
Well, we started out really high and
now we're sad.
Man. Don't get sad. We got Coach Duggs.
Coach Duggs. We're going to the Natty.
He's going to go to Waco. And he's going to whoop the Baylor Bears' ass. He's going to see Chip and Joanna Gaines from HGTV, the big Baylor fans down there in Waco. He's going to say, I got your shiplap for you. He's going to hang a 50 burger on him. Talk about some home improvement right there. Talk about a fixer-upper. Coach Duggs down at Baylor. What, 9:30 tonight? That stream's going to start?
Yes, 9:30 tonight.
9:30. Going to be in. Fan Run Radio will have your post-game coverage and analysis as well, so don't forget to check that out, fanrunradio.com. We're going to hit this first break of the program. Open up these phone lines too, 865-546-8200 if you would like to join us, 546-8200. We're back with more Overtime after this. And all the excitement about the debut of Coach Gus Dugerton. And this happened right in the middle of last night's stream, by the way. Tennessee continues to whoop some ass on the real-life recruiting trail. How about that?
We're so good, it's just common news at this point.
It's the power of Dugs.
Yeah, who's to say that Dugs didn't have a part in this?
We really don't know.
I mean, who's to say one way or the other?
You really don't know. And the commit that Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt and company get last night in the real-life football world, this guy is not a spring chicken, as they say. You get one of the top-rated athletes in the class of 2021, Kamen Marley. Kamen Marley commits right before 10 o'clock Wednesday night. He is rated as the number two athlete in the country. This is according to Rivals. Rivals rating him a little higher than the other services. So as of right now, we are a Rivals.
Yes.
We are a Rivals program. That's what we're going to do. He's a four-star athlete. Tennessee, how about this? Edges out North Carolina. Yeah, take that, Mack Brown.
Yep, and he's out of North Carolina, is he not?
Out of North Carolina.
So that's one of those in-state recruits you're not getting.
that you've built up your top three class with UNC. Nope, out of Ramshire, North Carolina. He also had offers from Ohio State, Florida, Penn State, Texas A&M, and Virginia Tech, just to name a few. He commits to Tennessee over his final four schools that were included, of course, the in-state likes of UNC and NC State, and also Kentucky. So it's absolutely fantastic. 247 doesn't have him rated bad either. 146 overall, number five athlete in the country. So consensus top five athlete at his position. Rivals has him as the 90th overall player in the country. And right now, depending on what class you look like, Marley is either the fifth or the sixth highest ranked commitment for Tennessee's recruiting class.
Whew. You love to see it, man.
I like it, man. Hayden Wallen, our own Hayden Wallen, had a write-up last night breaking down. Actually, it was this morning it was published. He wrote it last night. It got published this morning. Breaking down what Tennessee will be getting with Kamen Marley. So, I'm watching this ridiculous film, linking his huddle tape. It is evident that Marley is so much more physically gifted than his opponents. Despite this, you can see how Marley's game could translate to Saturdays in Neyland Stadium. He's a very physical wide receiver. He also doesn't shy away from contact, as you can see when he is on the defensive side of the ball. So, two-way player. Kamen Marley is in high school. You already have a lot of those on your roster right now. One of the most notable guys that you have on your roster who played two ways in high school. This guy's already played both ways so far in college in his one season, Corvarius Crouch.
Yeah.
So this is a Jerry Pruitt and his staff. This is someone who likes these Iron Men type of football players. I think obviously you see a lot more of that type of football play in high school, right? Either out of, Tucker, I know when you did play football, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, I did.
So you played – how much was the Granger roster? What was your roster size for a 4A school?
Not huge. You had a lot of guys playing both ways.
Okay, so that's – in my high school, Campbell County, was kind of the same too. Depending on your roster size, you'll have a lot of guys just play both ways out of necessity. And I think when you get to these recruits that are having these FBS D1 offers, you'll see a lot of them do this too just to better their chances.
Yes.
It's just like – Isn't it not the case that almost all of your higher-rated football players play multiple sports in high school?
Yes.
You play basketball. If you don't play basketball, you play baseball. If you're not doing that, you're doing track and field or something. You're doing anything to put more eyes on you.
Yeah, they're just gifted athletically and can when you have that talent, you can translate that in multiple areas. You'll be better at one, most likely, but you're diversifying your options by playing more than one, on one side of the ball or multiple sports.
So, and looking more about this analyst on Marley, looks like Tennessee's getting more of a bigger physical possession type of receiver, 6'2", 206 pounds. He also has the physicality to soar for jump balls as well. Also has the ability to break tackles and rack up yards after the catch. And on his tape, you can also see he has the ability to run the ball as well. got some speed. He's able to do it physically on both sides of the ball as well. We have, in looking at these commitments so far and looking at the fact that Tennessee almost has 25 commitments right now in the middle of May, you're going to have to cut some of the fat, so to say, from some of this class. Not everyone who's committed right now is going to end up signing with you. You can't not sign guys like this.
Unless he decommits, he will be a part of the football team. We will not, you know, have someone like this go away.
Hayden made some comparisons here in this article. I want to get your take on this. So he has a comparison. He has two comparisons. One is for a former Tennessee player. One is for a current NFL player. You almost want to be careful comparing a high school player to an NFL player.
Yeah, but you're not talking skill. You're talking just play style.
It's fun
stuff
to
like
think
that.
About.
Yeah.
So here's the former Tennessee player comparison. Jalen Hurd.
Okay, looking at the guys, like the way he runs and his body size and stuff like that, I can see that, yeah.
Hayden said the connections are undeniable when you watch Jalen Hurd's high school tape. Both players have a very similar punishing running style along with an innate ability to elevate for jump balls. Okay, I like it.
All right, oh yeah.
Love Jalen Hurd in his time here. Wish it would have ended better.
I wish he would have stayed.
Wish his college career wouldn't have ended as a tight end at Baylor.
Yes.
That's another reason Ducks has to kick Baylor's ass tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't forgotten. I've not forgotten, Waco. The NFL comparison. I really want your response to this. Current Jaguars linebacker, Miles Jack.
Whoa.
Who is a complete beast in college, and he's obviously great in the NFL.
That's quite a comparison.
He said Marley and Miles Jack have very similar 247 sports recruiting profiles with similar high school builds. I decided on Miles Jack due to his versatility that he brought to UCLA and he brings to the Jags today. I feel Kameem Marley can also bring the same type of elite versatility to Tennessee. Miles Jack did play both sides of the ball at UCLA. They used him as a running back as well. I do remember that.
Fingers crossed.
Give me all these two-way players.
Yeah.
In the perfect world, you want people who can be great on either side of the ball instead of good on both sides of the
yes.
ball. But hell, give me people who are able to do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because when they get here, that has to be great for the coaching staff too. When you're going through spring practice, when you're going through fall camp, you're actually developing these people. When they get there, it's okay. We don't only have to use this guy in Marley's case as a wide receiver.
Yeah, you can use him. You can plug him in on both sides
of the
ball.
If it looks like he wouldn't get playing time on the field as wide receiver, maybe we can give him some playing time as a linebacker.
Yeah. It maximizes your chances. You have more options to play.
Corvarius Crouch didn't get a lot of snaps on offense this season.
Mm-mm.
But when he did, kind of came up big.
Yeah.
In some games. Think about this. I mean, he did score that first touchdown in that comeback against Indiana.
Yes.
Having him in that goal line set, that's very valuable. That's going to be a valuable addition moving forward. That's when he only touches the ball on offense and like goal line sets
yeah.
in fourth and short situations. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, he's a bulldozer.
Put him at, remember the beast package for AJ
yes.
Johnson?
Yes, I do.
Give him a package like that and just let the line block and just let a human tank run right at the defense. I'm all for it.
Makes sense for me.
So, big pickup last night with Kamen Marley out of North Carolina. One of, already, depending on what service you look at, one of the top five or six players that Tennessee has committed right now. Hashtag, Cruton Machine go brrr. Brrr.
Brrr.
If Big Cat starts recruiting really well with Doug's, I just need to start using the version of that meme except Doug's face.
Yeah, just put Doug's face on it. Yeah.
Moving on over here and sticking in college football in general. Oh, man, this is like the stark reality of what college sports are facing in the midst of the pandemic here. So, if I can get the exact article here and find out exactly who did this study, there was a study done about the projected financial losses if it got so bad that all of college football had to be canceled. This isn't just for one school they couldn't play football. This isn't if the Pac-12 as a conference couldn't play football. This is worst case scenario. Can you not play with fans? We just cancel a whole damn season. Which I don't think a lot of us have talked about as being a possibility. We all realize that not all of college football is going to be canceled. Some of these schools are going to play football.
Yeah, it's
going
to have to happen.
Have to play football.
It's a necessity to the lifeblood of some of these like institutions.
And why they have to play football? And here it is. According to a Washington University report commissioned by ESPN, schools in the Power 5 conferences, this is Power 5 specifically, schools in the Power 5 conferences could lose in the neighborhood of, drumroll, $4 billion if football isn't played this year. $4 billion.
That's a big chunk of change.
As our president would say, billions and billions and billions and billions. It's a lot of money.
That's so much.
So a lot of money. We realize, even casual fans would realize the amount of money that is at stake in big-time college athletics and college football especially. Now we have an actual number to go along with this. It's terrifying.
Yep, so that there you go. Football's happening.
This does not even factor in the amount of money that group of five schools would lose. Does not even factor in.
That's insane. No, football's happening.
This is what 65 teams would lose.
Football's happening.
And do quick math, 65 divided by, not divided, 65 taken away from 130. So what you're left with that is your group of five schools. Imagine how much those schools lose as well. And then you're looking at, you're definitely looking at north of $5 billion, for sure.
Yeah, that's another 65 schools.
Oh, yeah, what? I'm dumb. At, 65 I'm so dumb. 65. How can I not?
I had to use the calculator. It's okay.
It's like, duh. It's half and half, group of five, power of five, whatever. So Patrick Riche, or R-I-S-H-E, whoever did this study at Washington University, this is the ESPN article, at least $1.2 billion would be due to lost ticket revenue. Now, this is something schools have already had to brace for because even if, going back to the Ohio State and Gene Smith estimation, at max at Ohio Stadium, at max this year, if all things go well, they would have 50,000 for a game, at max. Half their capacity. You're losing so much money there already. So you already know you're losing revenue on tickets as well. This is the estimated if you're no one has fans. And it's $1.2 billion. That's just tickets. Each Power 5 school would see at least an average loss of $62 million in football revenue, including at least $18.6 million in football ticket sales. Riche's analysts for ESPN use publicly available data from the 2017 season from the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics and the 2018 Equity and Athletics Database from the U.S. Department of Education, along with conservative projections of increases in revenue over the past 2 years to arrive at the 2020 estimates if the U.S. were not in the midst of a pandemic. It says these projected losses, Tucker, are actually conservative, and they don't include potential losses in media revenue, conference distributions, donations, and revenues from corporate partnerships, which is why it's so important that you at least play football, so you can at least get TV money and sponsorship deals, at the very least.
We got to have football. We're going to have football. Nobody worry. There's going to be no fans at minimum. We're going to have football. They will not let that money disappear. Money talks.
Even with... Let's do a conservative estimation just for Tennessee here. We have the same, almost the exact same size capacity as Ohio Stadium. Let's say that it's the best outlook projection too. And we can have for at least a few games up to 50,000 fans in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. I'm still worried about the amount of revenue loss for local businesses that depend on football traffic because they're still taking a hit if it's only 50K. You're still taking a hit.
Yeah, you're not getting nearly as much foot traffic and
I'm
stuff.
I'm thinking of... I think of University Liquors.
Yeah.
They said... They did a news story, and their owner said just 2 years ago that 90% of their yearly revenue is in the football season.
Oh, wow.
Not just on game days, but like in football season. This includes college kids on campus, too.
Yes.
That's their revenue.
Yeah.
They would go under. I'm thinking about just any establishment on the strip. I'm thinking about hotels for people coming out of town and just, ugh. Thinking of Copper Cellar.
The good thing about the University Liquors is people are going to drink whether they're going to the game or not.
That is true.
So,
but they need that football game day traffic, man, because
yeah, you got to get people there.
You're going to the games and stuff, too, and like you know people who are just around campus. Like, well, if you need something really quick that you forgot, just go over to University Liquors.
Yeah.
Go over to, you know, giving people free pub, and I mean, we're all in this together, you know, local and stuff. What's the Sam's Party Store, whatever it is on campus?
I'm not sure. I don't live in this area.
Well, I know, but I just didn't know if you'd known or not. Those local stores where you just go in and buy booze.
Yeah.
Just being honest. A lot of it's on game day. A lot of it's for your tailgate. A lot of it is to probably sneak into your pocket. if it's a little bottle of liquor. It just is what it is.
Yep.
I'm worried about that. Now, obviously, you're worried about with this study. It's everything.
Yep.
Even the big boys. Even the big corporations. Your schools, especially here. Need to play football. Need to play football. ESPN as well would take a significant hit if there was no college football season, of course. Think of how many people would just get fed up and cancel their ESPN Plus subscription.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $5 a month from each individual that has that. And do you know how much, and this is interesting too, do you know why a lot of people pay a lot for cable?
Sports.
It's mainly ESPN.
Yes.
That's the reason that people pay a lot for cable. And people have been cord-cutting anyway. What reason would someone have to keep cable or some service like that if there was no college football to watch?
They have no reason to. ESPN only exists as a container of live sports to me. I do not watch the shows where they're arguing all day. I don't watch, you know, I don't need that. I get that from the internet.
We watched The Last Dance, of course.
Yes, stuff like that.
But when was the last time we sat down for live appointment television that was non-live sports related on ESPN? Before The Last Dance. It'd been a minute for me. It was some 30 for 30, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, I might have SportsCenter just on as background noise. I'm not sitting there...
That's what it works best as.
...paying attention to.
Yeah.
It's just on in the background in case I hear something interesting.
Yes. Breaking news, you know, stuff like that. But even breaking news, you can get that from Twitter. Like, I don't watch ESPN typically unless there's an event on.
Right.
Whether that be, you know, a live event or a, you know, a show like The Last Dance. I don't watch their regular programming.
Well, that's, you know, that's the conservative projection for your Power 5 schools. As has already been in the news for a couple weeks now, you've seen the smaller non-Power 5, your group of five schools, and like your FCS programs, your D2 programs, they've already had to cut sports already. Mm-hmm. Today, another casualty was East Carolina, the old ECU. They had to cut four sports today.
What sports did they cut?
Today, they discontinue men's and women's tennis and men's and women's swimming and diving.
That's tough.
And for the casual layperson who's especially, you know, not an East Carolina fan, even probably for casual East Carolina fans, they're like, oh, who the hell cares? That's what people got scholarships to your school.
Yeah.
For.
And they love those. Even if those scholarships are still, you know, upheld, that's something that they love that they can't do anymore.
That's their dream. That's their passion. I mean, men's and women's tennis, that can be a ticket to a pro contract.
Yeah.
Same for swimming and diving. Who knows how many of your people on that team wanted to try for the Olympics?
Yeah.
And this is just going to keep going. Even if we have a really optimistic outlook in the fall, just because of how it is right now, you're going to see more of these sports being cut. And right now, it's going to be the ones that you don't really care about a lot. I would say even if they cut swimming and diving at Tennessee, you wouldn't have a lot of us really bat an eye.
No.
For the majority.
You would feel empathy, but you wouldn't be missing anything from your day-to-day.
But that would be a big deal if it got to that. A Power 5 school?
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
And our men's and women's swimming and diving programs, that's like conference...
They're lucrative.
...championship-winning programs.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a huge deal if it got to that point.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully that doesn't
come.
Tough
stuff, man. And all I can hope for is that, you know, this is just necessary for some schools to do right now. Give it a 2 or 3 years, that everything's back to normal. They reset their finances. maybe East Carolina can bring back those programs. Bowling Green can bring back baseball. Furman can bring back baseball, which is what it probably will be.
Yeah.
These aren't going to be gone forever.
No, hopefully not.
It's just, unfortunately, what they have to do now. And you're going to see mainly the schools that just did not have their finances in order have to cut stuff first.
Yes.
And I'll go ahead and make the prediction now. I know they had good news today because they made an historical hire. Vanderbilt took the interim tag off their athletic director, Candace Story.
Went ahead and hired.
Went ahead and made her full-time. First African-American woman to lead an SEC athletics program.
Oh, wow.
So great for her.
Very nice.
You know the reason she's athletic director, though? Because they had to fire the old one because he wasted all their damn money.
Yep.
So if an SEC team has to cut anything, any sport, it's going to be Vanderbilt be the first one. Maybe they cut that national championship bowling program. And I say that facetiously, but it might actually happen.
Oh, no.
Does that make them any money? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I really don't think it does.
No.
It'll be those schools that go first. You know, thankfully, they might have been really crappy athletic directors for the most part, especially John Curry. But Dave Hart and John Curry, they didn't waste their money, at least.
No.
At least they were good at fundraising.
They didn't spend it.
That's true. Or, yeah. Wait, did Dave Hart get us in the – am I misremembering that? Dave Hart helped raise money, right? Or did he get us in a deficit?
I have no idea.
Well, I know John Curry was the fundraiser.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Dave Hart, by the time he was done, I think we were okay. Because we did not have a surplus for a while.
I know we can afford football coaches still, so good. We're doing all right.
Yeah, we absolutely can. Maybe we'll be okay and weather the storm throughout all of
maybe.
This. 865-546-8200-546-8200. We're going to close out hour number one of overtime when we come back. Stay with us on Fan Run Radio. Oh, breaking news in the celebrity world. And this is a story that it feels like it's been years since it first broke, but it was only like last summer. Lori Loughlin, a.k.a. Aunt Becky from Full House, she and her husband, they have today officially pled guilty. Guilty in the college admissions scandal. Oh, say it ain't so, Aunt Becky. Say it ain't so. Her and her husband, the fashion designer, Massimo Giannulli. I think, I don't know.
Ginobili.
Her and her husband, Manu Ginobili. they both have agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy charges in connection to their role in the college admissions scam. The U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Massachusetts said today. Loughlin, who is 55, and her husband, who is 56, have been accused of paying $500,000 to get their two daughters into Southern Cal as fake crew team recruits. They had pleaded not guilty for more than a year and moved to dismiss the charges as recently as 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
But may have taken a plea agreement, though. As part of the agreement, Loughlin will be sentenced to 2 months in prison.
Ah.
They're not saying house arrest. They are saying prison. And her husband, 5 months in prison, subject to the court's approval, according to authorities. In addition, Loughlin faces a $150,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release, and 100 hours of community service. Her husband faces a $250,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release, and 250 hours of community service.
Shoot.
So her husband did a lot worse, apparently, according to his punishment.
Yeah, it seems that way.
They are scheduled to plead guilty tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Talk about a fall from grace.
Aunt Becky, how dare you?
I hope this is true, and they actually get prison. I hope they go to a legit prison.
They won't. They won't. That's not how this works.
They're going to send some country club, probably.
They're going to be playing tennis every day, sun tanning by a pool. They're just not allowed to leave, so it's prison.
I'm glad something's going to happen, though.
Eh.
I mean, it's one of the most sloppy scandals of all time, right?
Yeah.
Like, this was just... Lori Loughlin, and like, I know you're not like an A-list celebrity anymore, but you got money, honey. And your husband's a fashion designer. Did y'all really have to bribe Southern Cal? This wasn't bribing Harvard. This wasn't bribing the Wharton Business School at Penn. This wasn't bribing MIT. This was Southern Cal, which I get's a private institution that's very well regarded. But like, y'all didn't have the money just to send them regularly. You had to bribe the crew team and pass them off as fake recruits. I don't understand the whole thing. I don't understand why they had to do it. And same goes for the other actress.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like remember her name. With who their mom was, if they paid for tuition and said, hey, we're trying to get in, here's my daughter, blah, 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 pretty sure you got in. They would have let you in.
Isn't that just how nepotism usually works? I didn't know you had to bribe a half mil.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't know. Maybe they were just trying to be like in a movie and be criminals.
But you do the crime, and you must now do the time. As Judge Trudy on The Amanda Show would say, bring in the dancing lobsters.
They're dancing. They're dancing all right. That's
one of my favorite gifts to use.
Just bring in the dancing lobsters.
Whenever some argument is over, case dismissed, bring in the dancing lobsters.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, to older generations or even younger generations, we may seem like idiots right now.
So?
Bring in the dancing lobsters.
I am an idiot.
Yeah, but we're not because of what we're talking about.
Look,
we're making totally perfect sense.
If you don't get it, Google is free. Google is free. I feel better talking about a 20-some-odd, you know, old TV show Nickelodeon than I would referencing something like right now. Yeah, that's almost 20 years old.
Whoa.
Have you seen Amanda Bynes recently? She's actually cleaned up.
Yeah, she was really crazy there when I was like my late high school years. I remember she went crazy.
Tweeting at Drake to have sex with her.
Yeah, she like, didn't she?
Oh, and I quote, I want Drake to murder my added him too.
Yep. Yep. She had the cheek piercings.
Oh, yeah. It's gotten a little better. I worry for all those actors and actresses who were stars way before they were ready to.
Yeah.
You gotta know about like the creeps they dealt with. I know Amanda Bynes dealt with a creep. Hey, do you know about Dan Schneider, the Nickelodeon dude?
Oh, I know he's a creep, yeah.
One of the biggest. I mean, this dude should be in prison for the rest of his life.
He's still out.
And he's someone who created and produced
Drake and Josh, iCarly, Amanda Show.
Yeah. Did you know Dan Schneider was Mr. Oldman who would get prank called? He had the wig and everything. He's like, you have the wrong number!
Yeah.
That was him.
Wow.
That was him. Yeah, that dude who created some of our generation's most beloved shows as kids. He, creepy stuff. I really don't want to get into what he's creepy about. Oh, but this dude probably deserves to have his skin flailed properly.
Yeah, a lot of weird things in the
show.
Drawn
and quartered, probably.
A lot of weird things that he was having these child actors do on screen.
Minors.
That to a normal person looked normal. But
I feel way too just...
It's bad.
Google is free if you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, figure that
out. To wrap things up, shame on you, Lori Loughlin. Shame on you, Aunt Becky. Now you're going to do the time. Probably not hard time. You're going to do the time, probably.
Yeah, you're definitely going to do some sort of time.
Hour number one done. Hour number two is coming up on the other side. You are listening to Overtime on this Thursday here on Fan Run Radio.